All right, looking at the kingdom of God here at the summary, we're looking at the fourth chapter of Mark, and what I want to point out, he said to them, unto you it is given to know, this 11th verse, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto those who are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now here's what I wanted you to see. Do you not know this parable? How will you know all parables? Now that got my attention. And I thought, there's some keys in this parable that I need to know. I need to understand this parable. And one of the things is, we know that the seed, by interpretation, is the Word of God. So anytime I'm seeing seed that He's using, that I'm understanding that He's talking about the Word of God, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground, He's talking about Himself. You understand? Although He's using a natural thing, He's obviously talking about Himself. Then He tells us that the place where seed sown is in the heart. But then when you look at the first thing, He tells you that the man whose heart is hard and doesn't understand the words, he just says, forget it. He says Satan comes immediately. Now, the parable was fowl of the air. So then I see fowl of the air relating to Satan. Right? Okay, that's important. Because when you get to the parable of the mustard seed, what was the fowl doing? Getting the seed? But when you get to the parable of the mustard seed, He says that, you know, it's the tiny seed, smallest one, grows up into the greatest herb of the garden, and the fowl rests under his branches. So if Satan can't steal your seed, he'll try to steal your fruit. You with me? So there's things, when you look at these things, pay attention. These are keys, principles of the kingdom of God. This is how it works. The devil is not going to leave you alone. I had a woman ask me one time to pray for her that the devil would leave her alone. I said, well, then what you're asking me is to pray for you to die. She said, oh, no. And I said, well, that's the only way the devil's going to leave you alone. That's not even a legitimate request. You understand? What you have to understand, what we have to understand, is we have authority over the devil. We're in a kingdom. And there's not a more powerful kingdom ever existed, and none will ever exist. Every other kingdom will come under this kingdom. And this power is inherent in us right now. It lives in us. The power of the kingdom. But are we tapping into it? And see, He's telling us, I want you to know, I want to reveal the mysteries. I want to tell you secrets about the kingdom of God. Let me tell you how the kingdom of God works. And that's what these parables are doing. It's telling you how the kingdom of God actually work. The various things that He's showing you about the kingdom of God. And if we get in here and study these things, we will learn principles of how to live our daily lives. And then actually, if you look at Matthew chapter 5 and chapters 5 through 7, where we commonly call Sermon on the Mount, all He's doing is telling you how the kingdom of God works. It works different than the law. The law says you can't do it externally. The kingdom of God says you can't do it internally. The law says you can't murder. The kingdom of God says you can't hate. External, internal. The law says you can't commit adultery. The kingdom of God says you can't lust in your heart. So, God's kingdom rules from inside. That's what He's trying to show us in these secrets, and all we need to learn is how these principles work. God wants us to know about the kingdom of God. But you have to pursue. Jesus said, seek, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the number one, could be the number one priority in everyone's life, is seeking the kingdom of God. That means it's not superficial. It's not something that's just obvious. You don't seek for things that are obvious. You walk over and pick them up. But you have to seek things that aren't readily invisible. It goes back to the two men that built the houses, wise and foolish. Wise man dug deep. You have to dig deep to find out these things about God. Get down to the rock. Get down to the foundation to where what you believe is sure and it can't be shaken. You follow me? Another principle of the kingdom. And then we learn God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. So the only possible way to realize the kingdom of God is by the Spirit. You won't see it with your eyes. It's a spiritual kingdom. So how do you understand the kingdom of God? You have to understand it by the Spirit. Revelation. God speaking to our hearts. Now, to me, there seems to be a procedure for finding and operating in the kingdom of God. When you look at the third chapter of John, number one, he says, seek it in Matthew. Then in John, he says, see it. You can't see without being born again, right? Then he says, enter the kingdom of God. And then what do you do after you enter? You get established in the kingdom to where you learn the operation of the kingdom. God doesn't want us to just see. God doesn't want us to just enter in. God wants us established there and operating through the kingdom power that's inherent on the inside of us. But He's not going to make that happen. We allow it to happen. And just think of this. I just wrote this down today. Your interest determines your revelation. If you're not interested in it, God's not going to reveal it to you. Does it make sense? You don't get the revelation of it. That's why I didn't do so well in school. I had no interest in it. I didn't get the revelation of it. I have an interest in this. You understand? And when you start giving God your undivided attention, God will start showing you things. God's kingdom operates according to predetermined principles. God, humor me when I make a statement, don't take offense to it. God doesn't fly by the seat of His britches, okay? God, some of you will understand what that is. My granddaughter says, what's britches? God is the most orderly being that's ever been or ever will be. God does everything with plan and purpose. You with me? So nothing's caught God by surprise. You understand Adam's fall didn't catch God by surprise. The Lamb was slain before the earth was founded, not after Adam failed. You follow me? In the heart of God, it's already taken care of. We need to learn these kingdom principles and start applying them in our daily lives. It's called keys of the kingdom, where it says, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. But what do we do with the keys? They're spiritual principles that make the resources of heaven available for people on earth. The keys of the... What does keys do? Gives you access, doesn't it? And so you can only, you take like this building, let's say you had all the doors locked, you could only get in the room that you have the key to enter into, right? Well, there's many principles about the kingdom of God. You have to learn the different keys, the different principles. It's like formulas in algebra or whatever. It's not just one formula works for everything. But once you have the key, you can work for every problem in that area. Once you have the key to a room, you can get into the room. Once you know the principle of God, the kingdom of God, that principle works every time. It's not hit and miss. Oh, I hope so. It works every time when you learn the principle. And I am convinced more than I've ever been in my life, God is establishing His kingdom on earth, and He's doing it in the hearts of people. So it's imperative that the body of Christ come together in a unity and function as one so that God's kingdom will not be divided but strengthened. Get rid of your denominational lines. Get rid of all these traditional thinkings and all. Let's just focus on God and His kingdom and the Word of God. If we focus on these things and don't get in and start giving opinions, then we'll be in a unity. Then in a unity we can get more accomplished. You understand? The devil doesn't have to worry about you if you're fighting against one another. You're no threat to him while you're fighting one another. And that's what's going on. So the church hasn't been really a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You got that right? Kingdom of darkness? What are we? Kingdom of light. So if you bring the kingdom of light in, what does darkness do when light comes on the scene? It flees. Submit yourself therefore to God. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee. What comes first? Submitting. That's what he's telling us to do. God's kingdom is in us. So we're going to have to start looking inside instead of outside. Start tapping into the resources that are available to us on the inside. And when I learn the kingdom of God in me to the point I understand it and have the wisdom, then it'll manifest through me. You follow me? That's what he's inviting us to do. God's also going to establish his kingdom in local churches that bear his name. Now, probably most of them, it's not going to happen because the name of God's not on it anyway. It's a man's kingdom. But where God is, God's establishing his kingdom in that church to where God starts ruling. God runs the service, not man. I could say a lot there, but I'll not. God is setting up His theocratic rule in the hearts of people. It has to start in an individual, and then He can set His theocratic rule up in a local church. And once the theocratic rule is set up in a local church, Jesus is the head of the church. Pretty basic. How can I ask the kingdom of God to come into church when I won't let God rule my own life? You with me? So, the oversight of the church has to submit himself to God's kingdom, God's government, and then each individual in the congregation has to do the same thing. And so, the oversight, you have the responsibility of revealing the kingdom of God to the body. People don't know it. They haven't been taught it. So somebody has to teach them about God ruling in you by the Spirit. Don't look at flesh. Listen to the Spirit. Quit trying to reason things out. This is not about logic. God's kingdom is not about logic at all. You'll never reason the kingdom of God out. You can't see the kingdom. It's not available to senses. You're spiritually discerned. God fills His positions of authority in His kingdom. He does it by not by election, but by selection. You know, Jesus prayed all night before He selected the apostles. He didn't go out trying to do a background on them to see which ones He should choose and which ones He shouldn't. And I can tell you this, that if He would have put it before a committee, they would have turned Him down on His selection. The religious people called Peter and John ignorant, unlearned men. That's what God's looking for. People that know their inadequacy and submit to His kingdom so God can rule them. Because what were they doing? They were manifesting the kingdom of God. They said, we can't deny the miracle. These guys have been with Jesus. It's obvious. Wow, they're reflecting. Light's been seen. The kingdom of God's been seen. And I can tell you, if you get in the presence of God, then it's going to show. And if you're not, it's going to show too. You can look at, there's certain people, you know what I'm talking about, every one of us done. Certain people walk in and nobody has to tell you anything, and their face is like just dark as a dungeon, so oppressed. So what is it? The kingdom of darkness is ruling. But then conversely, you can see somebody that's just radiating. Kingdom of light. And so Christians should be happy. We should be radiating. Not walking around looking like we lost our last friend. Right? When God's theocratic rule set up in this church, then you'll see the head and the body connected together, and God will be governing His body. You know, your head controls your body, right? Voluntary, involuntary. It's telling your heart when to beat and all these type things. If you don't believe it, cut your head off and you'll see. You understand? Because what happens? The body ceases to function as it's ordained to function. Well, you sever Jesus, the head of the church, from the body or from the church, and it ceases to function. You just have a dead man walking. And that's what religion is. Because it's not getting its signals out of heaven. Everything's coming out of the flesh. And I can tell you that God has never used men to determine His sovereign will. He uses men to execute His will, but not to determine His will. You follow me? God's never asked me, do you think that I should put this person in that position? Well, I've asked Him before. As a matter of fact, He told me to put a person in a position that I bucked on it. I'm going to tell you that right now. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Because that's probably the last person I would choose to go in that position. And it took me 2 or 3 weeks to ever settle it on the inside of me that God knew more than I did about the situation. And it worked out beautifully. As far as the person doing it a good job, they did a great job. But I didn't think they were capable. What do I know? And we're going to have to get to that conclusion. Father knows. I think. You ever thought wrong? God hasn't. So it would be to our benefit to submit to Him, wouldn't it? It's of utmost importance that we recognize there are many kingdoms on earth. If you haven't noticed, start noticing. And never attempt to mingle any of these kingdoms with the kingdom of God. And I'm going to show you one that is a very prevalent. Have you ever heard of Messianic Jews? That's foolish. You either born again believer or you're not. I don't care what your nationality is. God's not over here holding law and grace. Well, I'm going to pull law and grace together. No, you're not. They don't agree. Boy, it got quiet. Yeah. Things like that enter in. They're so subtle because it looks like a good thing, and good is the worst enemy to right because it'll deceive you. And people are being deceived. Listen, if you're a born-again believer, it's not about nationality. It's about the heart being circumcised. Then you're born into the church, not into a geographical location or into some national nation. We're a holy nation. You understand? Anybody ever think the nation of Israel holy? Pure, clean, righteous. They don't even accept Jesus. You understand? Nationally, they don't accept Jesus. So why are we trying to pull this together? Well, our message is that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Well, once you get born again, then open yourself up and be born of the Spirit, of the Word, to where you can enter into that kingdom, get cleaned up, and get the knowledge of how the kingdom operates and get the constitution of the kingdom on the inside of you, and then you won't be thinking naturally. We've got to get out of this natural mindset. And I know a lot of people would probably stone me for the statement I just made, but it's a true statement. And we're going to have to wake up. You understand? That's like saying a South Carolinian believer, a North Carolinian believer, a Virginian believer. You're either a believer or you're not a believer. Forget the state. You follow where I'm coming from? Okay. You know, Jesus, when he was questioned about the natural kingdom, you were Caesar's ruling, and they're just trying to trap him, is all they're doing. Should we pay taxes? Well, the bottom line is, he knows he's not a citizen of that kingdom. As a matter of fact, he even says to Peter, who pays that? Do the children pay taxes? No, they're tax exempt. But lest we offend them, go fishing. Okay? Render to Caesar what Caesar's. That's what they were trying to trap him on. Okay? And then give to God what's God. Naturally, we owe taxes. So give natural what's natural. Give spiritual what's spiritual. My allegiance is to God, but because I'm living in earth, then I need to pay my taxes. There's a lot to say to that, but I think you get the message. We're to abide by the laws of the land as long as the laws of the land don't violate the Word of God. If the laws of the land violate the Constitution of Heaven, then you go with the Constitution of Heaven. What did the religious people tell Peter and John? Don't teach or preach anymore in that name. What did Peter say? You decide whether we should obey God or man. My paraphrase, but that's a no-brainer. We're going to obey God. We're going to teach what we've seen and heard. In other words, we've experienced the kingdom, and we're not backing down from the kingdom of God. And we have to get that established in the kingdom. Give to God what belongs to God. Matter of fact, everything you have belongs to God. So yield it over to Him. Here I am. That's what Isaiah said. Here am I. Send me. Use me. What do you want to do with me? You bought me. As a matter of fact, He says that He bought not only our spirits, but our bodies. A lot of people haven't come to the realization that Jesus paid for your body. We think that's reserved for us. I'm telling you, it's mandatory for us to proclaim the kingdom of God and teach the kingdom principles. If we just get this word out, it starts inside bringing a change. You don't rehabilitate. You change the nature. You understand? If you want somebody to change, change the nature. I'll tell you, when I stopped sinning, when my nature changed. I wanted to do good. I really did. I was brought up in church. I wanted to do good. But this old body didn't want to do that. And you know what happens? Your conscience condemns you because you know you violated God. You want to do good, but you don't. And then even after I got in church, it's the same dilemma. Until I came to that revelation and truth that if you live in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Because you don't want to do that. It's a nature change. It's a nature change. And when you get the nature change, you're not doing the things of the old nature. You don't want to do those things. Jesus preached and taught the kingdom of God extensively. We should be doing the same thing. Philip preached the kingdom of God, and he saw the power of God's kingdom manifested with devils being cast out and cripples being healed. Paul preached the kingdom of God. Many miracles occurred as God revealed Himself in power and authority. Even Balaam, the soothsayer, prophesied concerning the dominion of God, although he never entered into it. Now then, King Nebuchadnezzar recognized God's kingdom. King Darius also recognized God's kingdom. Now, I want to talk to you about Nebuchadnezzar because God showed this heathen king the kingdom of God, how it was coming. And when you look in Daniel, and without reading all this because we're running out of time, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a statue. And the statue had a head of gold. Its chest and arms were silver. And then when you get down to the torso and all, it was bronze. And then his thighs and his legs now is iron, and then clay mixed with iron. And the interpretation of that dream, which Daniel gave him because God revealed it to him, was that those were four empires. But then in that dream, he saw a stone cut out of a mountain. No hands did it. And that stone rolled down and hit that statue and crushed all the kingdoms. And then it filled the earth. And the interpretation was that God's kingdom was going to crush all these other kingdoms and fill the earth. Now, I want you to think about this. When did Jesus come? What kingdom was ruled? The head of gold was Babylonia. The silver was the big Persians. And then the Grecian Empire, the bronze. What was the fourth kingdom? The Roman Empire. When did Jesus come to earth? When was He born? During the Roman Empire. Who crucified Jesus? It was the Romans. The Jews had it done, but the Romans carried out the execution of the cross, right? Crushed the kingdom. He came announcing, John the Baptist said, kingdom of God's coming, kingdom of God's coming, kingdom of God's coming. My paraphrase, Jesus said, the kingdom of God's here, the kingdom of God's here. Every time He healed somebody, God's kingdom demonstrated its power over the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand? Then when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to stay, Where did he come? Inside us. Inside us. Jesus told his disciples, Luke 24:49, I believe it is, tarry in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem, until you're endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8 tells you what the power is, the Holy Spirit. Stay in Jerusalem till you receive the Holy Spirit. Because you don't have the nature to represent me. You have the desire. You have knowledge. But you're lacking in nature. And so what happened when the Holy Spirit came? The man who denied Jesus to save his hide stood up to the very ones that he was afraid of and said, "You crucified him." What's the difference? He had a nature change. God's kingdom manifesting itself through him. Interesting, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, some of you in here need a nature change so you get rid of your shyness and God's kingdom operate through you. That's exactly what happened to me. You think you're shy? You don't know shy. You don't know bashful. I can write you a book on shy and bashful. And I still, when I get out of my element, I don't say anything. But when I get in my domain, where I have authority, I have a voice. You with me? Why? Because there's a nature change on the inside of me. You understand? And it's because of the Holy Spirit. And the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more He actually starts using your body, if you will, the kingdom of God operating on earth. I've had the privilege of seeing some phenomenal things. I'm still seeing phenomenal things. And the things I see, a lot of what I see is just in daily living. It's not in a church service. You know, we think the kingdom of God only operates in a church service. I just had a call today, as a matter of fact. Somebody called me yesterday. It was yesterday. They called me yesterday, all upset. And wanted me to pray about a situation. So I said, okay, we'll do that. And I said, get your mind off of it. Just get your mind off of it. If you don't think about it, it won't bother you. They called me back today and said that problem was taken care of. Well, you can say coincidence. I can say the kingdom of God's operating. It's just how you view it. If you're looking for some spectacular thing, you know, where light brightened across the sky and all that, you're going to miss the supernatural power of the kingdom of God operating right under your nose. And people do that. King Darius recognized God's kingdom. You know, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel slept, Darius walked the floor. I know that God you serve will deliver you. Anybody speaks against this man's God after his deliverance, anybody speaks against his God, kill him. And the ones that were responsible for getting Daniel thrown in the lion's den, Darius put them in there, and the lions ate them before they hit the bottom of the pit. Or tore up, however you want to say it. He recognized, here's a heathen king that recognized God. God's power. You understand? God's kingdom ruling in the lives of people. The disciples placed the most emphasis, they placed so much emphasis on the kingdom of God that they forsook all and followed him. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was talking about something, Peter said, what about us? We've forsaken all. Until nothing else matters. God's wanting to get us to that place. That these other things out here that's captivated our attention, they don't matter. What matters is doing the will of the Father right here in earth. And that's accomplished when the kingdom's ruling. See, the rule of the kingdom comes before doing the will of God. If I'm submitted to the rule, I do the will. Okay? Just have to think about all this. Many people are becoming so engrossed in other things that the kingdom of God is pushed aside and recognized as not recognized as vital in this life. And I'm talking about the church. The average church doesn't even recognize the kingdom of God, let alone the importance of the kingdom of God. But consequently, the kingdom of God's not operating. And so the people aren't taught God's dominion, God should be ruling your life. They aren't taught that. What churches do is make rule books and say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Get the kingdom of God operating on the inside of them and you can throw your rule books away. Nature will control them. Nature will govern. I'm talking about the nature of God. The nature of God will govern their lives. I can tell you before I received the nature of God, I needed to be governed externally. But once you receive the nature of God, the desire changes and you don't want to violate God. So throw the rule book away. I know some pastors really get upset with that, but nevertheless, if you'll teach the people the kingdom of God, you won't have to worry about trying to control them externally. They'll be governed from the inside. I'm going to have to stop there. My time's up. We'll pick back up with that letter D on page 33 of the study.